Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 14th, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize that we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. And I want to emphasize to you, a lot of folks, you know, they say, well, I will be saved, you know, no matter what. Or they wait till almost the end. Well, you know, in order to be protected, what do you believe in, pre-trib, post-trib, or whatever rapture? There's got a lot of things that are going to happen before Yeshua returns. And having said that, there's things that you're going to have to endure. In order to be protected, you need to be holy. Regardless of that, you should be wanting to be holy just because you should want to be holy and be closer to Messiah. That is what we need to do, because you don't know. You could step out in front of, well, that train that you hear every week. You could get hit by a train like that. There's many, many things that could happen to you. You need to be right now before it's too late in your life. So anyway, now then, let's move right along. Anyway, if you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Like tonight, I want to tell Sean, I got your letter, Sean. Now, see, some people like Sean, they send me letters in the mail, and I take it to the mission church, and I anoint it with oil and pray on it. Now, Sean wants me to mail this letter back to him after I'm done. That I'm going to do. We're going to take it to the mission church tomorrow and pray for him and for his son. His son has gotten better since the first letter he sent us, and so, you know, there's a praise report. So, you folks, when you hear us talk about this, if you need a prayer request, you can call me. But if you can't get me by phone, or a lot of people don't like to talk on the phone, you can send me an email, and I'll print it out, take the mission church, anoint it with oil, and pray over it in our prayer circle. Also, you know, you can send me by mail, and I'll do the same thing with it. Point is if you include your mailing address, we'll send it back to you with no other form of solicitation or anything, just as a service to you. Anyway, or you can call me on my phone, which is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program that's simulcast live on the net internationally. So pray about supporting radio airtime, I mean, because airtime does cost. Also, later on, when the program's over, roughly about 9 p.m. Central tonight, these programs will go in into a podcast site, and that costs. We don't sell anything at Messiah's Branch, and so we want you to pray about supporting what we do, because it's donations from you that keeps us on the air. And remember that the places that you go are very, very smartphone friendly. And I want to thank our listener bases in places like Norway, Australia, Taiwan, Finland, Spain, India, Mexico, Canada, And, of course, cities right here in the good old USA, such as Virginia Beach, Florida, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Washington, D.C., of all places, Aurora, Illinois, San Francisco, and Oakland, California, Newark, New Jersey, as well as many, many others. And, of course, right in Wichita, Kansas, where it seems like our biggest group of listeners are. And so you folks in Wichita, pray about stopping by the Mission Church, bring some food for the homeless and poor, bring some clothing, or just come and check us out and see what we're about and see if we're worthy for your donation. Now, a prayer, because I really want to get on with tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, or not really our guest's will, but you, Father. I just ask that you would take control and let whatever comes out by you and not by us. And please give everyone ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Bible prophecy. You know, when we talk about it or think about it, we really generally think of something that's, well, it's already came to pass, or something that's coming in the future. Well, this evening guest may have changed the way that we might think of prophecy, as he's written a book called The Now Prophecies. And other than the fact, I will say, Bill, I really enjoy the cover. Our guest is Bill Salas. He's the author of Nuclear Showdown in Iran. He's been on with us before. His other books include Revealing the Ancient Prophecy of Elam, Psalm 83, The Missing Prophecy Revealed, How Israel Becomes the Next Middle East Superpower, Revelation Road, Hope and Beyond the Horizon, Israelistan, the ancient blueprints of the future Middle East. And I know he's made some DVDs, and he appears around the country on talk shows and so on and so forth. He's really been around. His books have been featured on TBN, Daystar TV, CBN, and many other mainstream Christian TV shows and networks. Bill's freelance articles have been featured on WorldNet Daily, The Christian Post, popular magazines, and extensively over the World Wide Web. Bill is frequently interviewed on radio programs, as I said, and he appeared on television shows like Christ and Prophecy, hosted by Dr. David Reagan, founder of Lamb and the Lion Ministries, and The Jewish Voice, hosted by Jonathan Burness. It has become his personal challenge to demonstrate the love of God through prophecy to each reader. And Bill does put that out. He does this because he has a love of God and he has a love of his fellow man. He wants to see you saved. So let's welcome now Bill Salas. How are you, Bill?
Dan, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on your program.
Oh, I enjoy having you. And, you know, I really enjoy your books. And what more than enjoyment, they're very educational. You know, the name of this book really just, you know, kind of catches your just right off the bat. The Now Prophecies. The Now Prophecies. What is that?
Well, these are the prophecies that I believe are about ready to happen right now. They're lacking preconditions. They've all been fulfilled at this point, things that would have otherwise delayed their time of fulfillment. They are imminent. I mean, these things, we can wake up tomorrow morning and they could be happening. We're looking at a lot of end times Bible prophecies still remaining to be fulfilled. These will come in sequences, probably in fairly rapid succession. So my goal with the Now book was to kind of put them in the order we can best understand. I mean, there's some speculation, of course, involved as we try to figure these things out. But there are some prophecies that could happen overnight, Dan, and those are the ones that I put into the Now Prophecies book.
Yeah, amen. That's what caught my eye, is because, you know, like I said at the beginning of the program, so many people talk about, well, these things are going to happen in the future, or they already happened, and they argue back and forth. It's seeming to skip over that there's so much really happening right now. But let's back up a minute. Good question here. What compelled you to write this book? Was it has something to do with a dream or something I'm catching here? What was it?
Well, yeah, I want to talk about the dream because it does have something to do with the concept and the title. But, you know, my goal to write the book ultimately is that I'm excited about the fact that God is about to let the world know he's the one true God of the Bible. He's about to silence his critics. He's about to end the disputes, whether Israel has any rights to the territory. And he's going to shoot replacement theology in the foot. In the event called Ezekiel 38, where he is going to make his holy name known in the midst of his people Israel, And so my goal, you know, when we talk about Ezekiel 38, that's a very powerful prophecy. Many people have, there's many good educated Bible prophecy teachers that have written about it, have been teaching about it, and they're doing, in most cases, a very decent job on that. But the one thing that seems to kind of get glanced over in most all these books and commentaries and articles is the main purpose of Ezekiel 38, and that is to let the world know that God is going to give them official notice that he's God. And I feel like the Lord is asking me to do that right now in this Now Prophecies book. So that's really kind of the reason I was motivated to write the book. And then I can get into some of the specifics about the dream and how the title came into being and that sort of thing, if that's what you'd like me to explore.
Yeah, I'd like to get into the dream just as soon as I just want to make one comment. You know, I always, whenever I look at Ezekiel 38, I go, well, okay, that's when he comes back when he says that, you know, he is the God of Israel, and Israel basically recognizes him. But I didn't take it to that step further. Well, he's actually saying it to the world. And so I agree with you. You're very right about that. But I'm really interested in this dream. Go ahead.
Okay, well, what was interesting was that I had been preparing presentations, PowerPoint presentations, and teaching. I was speaking a whole bunch throughout the world, actually, last year in 2015. And I was preparing the presentations based around my concerns that Bible prophecies, some of them, are actually about ready to happen. They're about to roll off the parchment, and they're going to hit the pavement, and they're going to put a powerful punch in the areas where they hit. And when we talk about end times Bible prophecies, really, these are world impacting anyways, globally impacting. And I'm looking at these prophecies because they're lacking conditions. I'm thinking these could happen now. So I figured it was time to stop just talking about these things and getting people prepared for them and educated about them. So I had spoken in many places about preparing for the coming prophecies. And then one night in last October, I was having a dream. And in the dream, the Lord was speaking to me. And he said, Bill, I want you to call your next book the Now Prophecies. And I was going, well, that's incredible. I mean, that's the perfect title for everything I've been trying to prepare for my lessons and the book I want to write. And I was in this kind of this blissful state thinking, God just told me he wants me to write the Now Prophecies. Now, let me caveat this for your listeners. I'm not a sensationalist, an over-supernaturalist kind of guy, and I'm looking for signs every left and right and this sort of thing. So I seldom even share my dreams because in many cases I'm not sure they're significant or not. But this particular dream, I was in this blissful state going, wow, I'm going to call my next book the Now Prophecies. And at 1:59 in the morning I get a phone call from some foreign, distant country. It turns out it's probably in Africa somewhere, that wakes me up right in the middle of after I've got this dream, and I'm in this blissful condition. And I figured, well, I figured the Lord had woke me up on purpose. I mean, no one calls me at 1:59 in the morning. It's been a long number. So I got up and started praying about it so I would remember the dream. And, of course, that morning I started writing the book. And so, therefore, the concept of the book was sort of based on the dream and the title of the book, but the content and details of the book are scripturally based through a lot of extensive years of research, but it's done in a way, Dan, where it's easily formatted. I wanted this book to be easily understood for your basic person, not just a scholar, who wants to understand what God has to say about the days in which they live. And so this book is really appealing to a wide, broad base of individuals who don't have to be intellectual scholars to get something out of this.
Right, absolutely. You know, and I see that by so many Bible prophecy people, you know, not saying that their arguments aren't legitimate or nothing, but they put them in such a context that, you know, the general person on the street, you know, picks it up that isn't, you know, if they're not real familiar with, have read the Bible 200 times or whatever, they go, well, what's it talking about, you know, and they spend so much, you know, and so it needs to be simple. Like, I believe the gospel is simple. If you can't, a common person should be able to open the Bible and find out how to get saved easily. And that's the same way I believe with prophecy. Shouldn't prophecy be able to be understood in that same manner? Back to you.
Well, I concur. And my prior works, you'd listed some of the books I'd done in the past. I had to do a lot of years of extensive research, and in some of those books it got a little bit sophisticated, a little bit complicated, because I had to lay out the precept upon precept, the line upon line, so that I could be clear that, hey, this does look like a legitimate prophecy that's awaiting fulfillment and things like this. Some of those prophecies I wrote about had been vastly overlooked. and like Psalm 83 or Jeremiah 49 dealing with Elam. So I had to make sure I did my homework and my research. But although those books sold really well, there were some people would come to me at my book tables or email me and say, you know, I want to give one of your books to my neighbor or my brother-in-law or something, but he's kind of new in Christianity, or he's just flirting with Christianity and he doesn't really know what to do. I'm just a little concerned your book might be a little too detailed for him. Which one would you recommend? So I decided this book was not going to be that way. The Now Prophecies book, I've got the research in the other books. If they want the deeper, richer understandings, they can get those. This book is for, you know, the common person. Every man, woman, and child needs to know what's about to happen. And so that's why I felt I'm compelled to write it at this level.
Amen. I feel compelled to ask you, you brought up dreams. You know, you say you dream a lot. Is there any other dreams that, and I don't know why I'm asking, because I don't have knowledge of any specific one, but do you have any other specific dreams that you really feel is overly important that you should be sharing?
Well, let me preface that statement because, you know, dreams are a personal thing, and sometimes there's a meaning in them, and sometimes, you know, maybe we're still searching out what the meaning may be, if indeed it was even a significant dream. But we're told in the book of Joel, chapter 2, around verses 28 through 31, that there would be a time when the Lord would pour out his Spirit on his men servants and maid servants. And he, of course, did that at Pentecost, and Peter actually quotes Joel 2 in Acts chapter 2. But he says he will get, the young men will dream dreams and the old men will have visions. And so we're seeing in the world today the supernatural evangelism. Dreams and visions, of course, are the only thing. Those are supernatural events. Those are not outsourced naturally. So the Lord is providing his Spirit through dreams and visions. And we're seeing this in Iran. We're seeing this in Syrian refugee camps. Miracles, healings, dreams, visions, and people are coming to the Lord, which is the intent of that supernatural evangelism, that pouring out of the Spirit through dreams and visions. So I've had people oftentimes say to me, you know, I had a really important dream. I think it was significant. Do you think that's possible? And I'll say, well, you know, maybe. I'm, the Lord said there would be dreams and visions being poured out. We've got to be careful. We don't, you know, we could have had bad pizza, and the next thing you know, we had a terrible dream, or we think we had a significant dream. And more often than not, that's the case. But, yes, there are dreams that could be valid among your listeners that they shouldn't just discount. They should pray about them and see if the Lord was trying to tell them something. But within the measurements of staying within the Scriptures, with the Word of God in alignment with that, and in prayer to make sure that they're not going out on some tangent and sensationalizing what's going on. I've had dreams about the rapture. I've had dreams about Satan coming after me. I've had a lot of dreams, to be quite honest with you, Dan. So, but, you know, again, probably not going to get into all the details of those. I do put two dreams in the Now Prophecies book. One is the one I talked to you about the name of the book. And that's an interesting scenario, Dan, because writing a book and trying to encapsulate what the book says into a short title, a headline, if you will, is very difficult to do. And now my other books, it was a pretty laborious process. But this book, I think the Lord just came to me in a dream, and I didn't have to think about it. I knew that was what I needed to call it. And then my other dream I talk about in the book is dealing with the rapture. I had a dream on that. And so I did include it, but in both cases I caveated, look, I'm not trying to say you've got to believe everything I say because of my dream. I'm just saying I felt it was worthy of sharing in the book. So they'll see if they get the book what those two dreams were.
Okay, well, I do want to I was going to ask you what some of the Now prophecies are, but if you would like to share something about the rapture dream, I'm fully okay with you sharing that if you want to.
Okay, well, first of all, when we talk about the Now prophecies, the ones that could happen, I personally believe the rapture is an imminent event. Jesus can come get us at any given time. And I do have a chapter in the book called The Vanishing of the Prophet, Vanishing of the Christians, which i.e. would be the rapture when Jesus comes to fetch his bride. And so I do talk about, I don't get into a large, big debate about the timing of the rapture. I give my reasons as to why I believe that it could happen at any given time. Thus, we have to think about it as a Now prophecy. In that particular dream, I write about this in the book, and going by memory of what I've written in the book, it was something along the lines of, Lord, give me something, a dream, a vision, an answer to a prayer, or some scriptures that that would be a little different than what someone's written about when it comes to the writing about the rapture. And as I was praying that, it dawned on me, I had been given a dream about a couple years prior. And that dream was about the rapture. And I was actually speaking at a Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach, Calvary Chapel Beachside, two consecutive Sundays. And in the middle of those two consecutive Sundays is when I had the dream. I think this was back around December of 2012. I have the dates in the book. And so, and the second Sunday, I was going to be teaching on the rapture. So I had this dream that week, and in the dream, I was on my bed sleeping, and I started to levitate, and I'm starting to go, I'm thinking to myself in the dream, this can't be good, I'm going to hit the roof. And in a split second, I was beyond the roof. It was like hyperdimensional. I was already above, going above the roof, floating, ascending upward. And then the second thought I had was, wow, I'm being raptured. And then I got very joyful, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, you know, and I'm starting to go up, and I'm looking, and there's a cloud up there. And then I think to myself consciously as I'm going up, I'm thinking, well, I should look around. And I look around, and I see other people going up into individualized clouds, and like families and people and stuff. And then I got a thought that was kind of sobering, and I looked around, and I noticed that that's kind of a sparse situation here. There's not people like, it's not bumper to bumper, elbow to elbow, standing room only. These clouds are fairly few and fairly far apart. And I thought to myself, wow, why is that? You know, and then it dawned on me, you know, Christ said, narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life, and few find it, but broad is the way that leads to everlasting destruction, and many thereby go that way. And I thought, wow, Lord, just, you know, I'm wondering how many people are really going to get raptured. How many true believers are there really going to be when it happens? And so I just thought it was worthy of including that in the book. I explained it, of course, a lot better in the book in writing than I did right now. But so that was the other dream. And again, I can't harp on this loud enough and long enough. Don't think I'm saying that's why you should believe in a preacher of rapture or anything like that. I'm just saying that was my personal dream, and I give you my scriptural reasons for it inside of that particular chapter in the book.
Well, amen. I'm glad you shared it with me, because, yeah, it is indeed in the book. I wanted you to bring it up. But we don't have time. We got like 10 seconds. Basically, we're at the point now. We're getting ready to go to break. I need you to give your contact information, and then we'll come back and talk.
Well, thanks, Dan. Yeah, sure. My contact information is prophecydepot.com. That's my website, prophecydepot, like homedepot.com. And I've got articles, media shows, and all the products are there that Dan talked about earlier in the hour. And you can email me, and I try to respond as much as I can. We've got Facebook there. We get conversations and things like that. So thanks, Dan, prophecydepot.com.
Yeah, folks, and when you get there, he's got something that's fairly new over there. It's called Newsstand, and I really like that. And, you know, he, unlike me, he posts news that's more specific to prophecyhour.com. You're going to get the latest breaking news about everything that goes on. But go over and check him out. He's got lots of stuff over there to look at. Check out his books and his tapes and things. And we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help for food, clothing, hats, gloves, and, well, you know, right now we're the hats and the gloves aren't as big a need, but we still need over-the-counter medications because, you know, people get colds when they come into spring. You guys know that, and you're probably getting them. But how would you feel if you had to go without any cough syrup, without any pain medicine, and so on and so forth? And we even need children's over-the-counter medicines. Yeah, I'll give them. I'll take a chance of getting sued. I'll give a kid a half of aspirin or whatever, you know, or some cough medicine that's for children. The point is because these poor people, they can't afford to. A lot of them are keeping roofs over their head, working part-time jobs thanks to Obama. But, you know, they can't afford everything. They are keeping a roof over their head. So you have to give them credit. They are struggling. They're trying. And you wouldn't believe the faith in some of these people among the poor. In fact, that's where Yeshua spent his time, was among the sinners and the poor. That's what we're doing. We're spending trying to spend our time as much as we can like Yeshua, because you know what? We don't want to be wrong. I want to be able to serve my Father and his wonderful Son. And the only way that I can see that is to do as he did, because after all, being Christian is being Christ-like, right? So to be Christ-like, we got to do as he did, you know. And I'm not going to go into all of the things that I believe, but, you know, and the strongest thing is being a witness among the poor, helping them without judgment, so that when they have that time that they need that miracle prayer, whether it's to get out of the street or they need a healing in their life or something, they come from all over the city. You know, even people that aren't poor come from all over the city to get miracle prayers. Prayers work. And, you know, so pray about it. You know, people come in looking for things. When they come in, we don't have any set guidelines. You know, we help them out. We give them relationships. And if you give somebody a relationship, let's go with that. When they see you, do they see your Father in you? Do they see Christ in you? Are you representing Christ in you? Are you showing them mercy, love, compassion? Are you showing those things? Are you showing them forgiveness? So pray about it, you know. And if you don't want to help the poor, pray about it, you know, helping with airtime. But remember, folks, and also I want you to remember that Passover's coming up, and, you know, we really could use your help for Passover, so pray about it. We're still short of what we need for Passover, so pray about that. But really, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Bill Salas talking about his incredible book called The Now Prophecies. Are you still with me, Bill?
I'm still here, Pastor Dan, and excited to keep going.
Yeah, amen. I'm really excited about it, too. So, amen. You know, before we get into America, which I really want to get into because you really hit that hard, what are some of the other now prophecies? What's going on? You say, well, this is a now prophecy. Back to you.
Yeah, there's a handful of them. Remember, I opened the hour talking about this incredible event in Ezekiel 38 where the Lord is going to stop this Ezekiel 38 invasion, which brings Russia, Turkey, Iran, Libya, and there's 9 members in this Russian coalition altogether. They're going to come against Israel in the most massive armed and dangerous Mideast invasion of all times, and it will be stopped by the Lord, not by the Israeli Defense Forces and not by the American military. It's going to be stopped by an earthquake, fire, great hailstones, and brimstone, and it will be clear that God's going to stop it, and in that event, he will be able to say, I will make my name. Now, let me just read what the purpose is real quick in Ezekiel 39:7-8. After the Lord stops this invasion, he says, I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nation shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord. This is the day of which I have spoken. Major marquee event on the prophetic timeline, which is rapidly approaching. But that is not a now prophecy in my estimation. As powerful as that event is, and we're nearing it very closely, because there are preconditions that the now prophecies I'm about to tell your listeners will help fulfill, when they're fulfilled, they will help set the stage for Ezekiel 38 and eliminate the preconditions. The preconditions in Ezekiel 38 is that Israel, who Russia is going to come to attack in the latter days, has got to be dwelling securely without walls, bars, nor gates, and they got to be extremely prosperous because Russia's coming for the plunder and booty. Israel today is not dwelling in that condition, in my estimation. They are the most fenced-in and fortified country in the world with fencing on every one of their land-bearing borders. And so what has to happen for Israel to get in that condition and then, therefore, the Lord to use that event to let the world know he's the one true God of the Bible? And that's what the now prophecies are. These prophecies, most of them, some of them aren't related to that as much, but some, most of them are Middle East-centered, Israel-centered, and they will be dealing with the ability to have Israel dwell securely so that Ezekiel 38 can find fulfillment. Now, with that said, I just want to preface one more thing. Every generation has had their own now prophecy. So, for instance, Noah had a now prophecy. He was told there's going to be a flood. That was very important information, prophetic information, about the future that Noah needed to know and prepare for. Joseph is another example. He was given a now prophecy that there would be 7 years of coming famine in the land of Egypt, but they would be preceded with 7 years of plenty, which enabled Joseph 7 years to store up to preserve the existence of Egypt. And then even Jeremiah had a prophecy that the Jewish people of the southern kingdom of Judah would go into 70 years of Babylonian captivity. That would enable them to prepare for this dispersion into Babylon. So these are just a few examples. So we have to look at ourselves and say which ancient prophecies, ancient foretellings, were destined for us to know about so that we could start to prepare. And with that all said, here's what we need to think about right now. I'm going to list them for you, and then if you want, we can go through whichever ones you want to go through. But one, and I think I'm going to list them in the order, I think they will happen sequentially. This is speculation, but is my best educated guess. One, we're going to experience a disaster in Iran. This could happen tomorrow. I believe it's nuclear-related. It's in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39, dealing with a vastly overlooked prophecy of Elam, E-L-A-M. I think that will lead to Isaiah 17, which talks about the destruction of Damascus, the capital of Syria, where the Syrian revolution has been going on, and you've got millions of refugees. And so I get into that as another now prophecy. Then I get into the toppling and trembling of Jordan. There's prophecies that have been vastly overlooked in Jeremiah 49, verses 1 through 6, and elsewhere, dealing with Jordan's future. You know, King Abdullah II of Jordan right now is very concerned about everything going on around in his borders. And in Jeremiah 49, verse 5, it talks about a time when Jordan would be fearful of everything all around it. And I believe that's happening right now, and that leads into other aspects of that prophecy. Then there's a terrorization that just trembles Egypt. And it's got to do something with Israel, and that's in Isaiah 19. And then there's the final Arab-Israeli war, which would enable Israel to dwell securely once they defeat those Arabs around them that despise them, that don't want them to exist, that don't recognize their right to exist. They're actually listed by their ancient names in a psalm, in Psalm 83. The other one is the decline of America. And I know, Pastor Dan, you and I, in our emails back and forth, very concerned about this. And we'll take some time and talk about that. But moving on. The expansion of Israel, you know, once Israel wins a war, they expand territorially. They did this in 1967. And I've got verses in the Bible talking about how they will expand territorially to establish more defensibility of their borders. And that's land that God gave Abraham that they're living in and they're going to expand into more and more. And then the last thing we talked about was the vanishing of the Christians. Those are some of them. There may be some more that I haven't gotten into. But those are big deals, and they are globally impacting events now.
Yeah, amen. You know, I have a one thing that I fight against so much is there's a certain group of people out there that, you know, they're turning against Israel. You know, they're, you know, called anti-Semitism or Semitic, whatever. But you know, they're saying, well, Israel isn't even Israel. That isn't the land that it's supposed to be. But isn't that one of the greatest prophecies of our time coming true, is Israel coming back and taking the land back?
Oh, yeah, it really is. It is a marquee prophetic event. And when Israel became rebirthed in May 14th of 1948, it really unlocked the key to all the fulfillment of the end times prophecies, because Israel is the centerpiece of most of the end times prophecies. again, one of the big ones is God's going to let the world know he's God through his people Israel. We spread that in Ezekiel 39. There's a whole bunch of Bible prophecies that were fulfilled and are still being fulfilled with the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And just give you one example. In Jeremiah 23, verse 7, it talks about a time when the Jewish people would no longer say, the Lord who brought us out from Egypt, but the Lord who brought us out from the north country and the south country and from all the countries where he had driven us. And that's right now. The Lord is bringing them. You know, Egypt was a big deal. The Red Sea is parted. But here they are coming into this land of Israel. The Lord had to implant this Zionistic inclination on all these Jewish people, which he started doing back around the late 1800s with Theodore Herzl. He had to create the Arab homelands. So remember, the Ottoman Empire controlled that whole Middle East, and there would be no Israel if they were still in control. And he had to create a Jewish state. He had to prevent Nazi genocide. He had to line up the Allied forces, which is a bunch of strange bedfellows with communist Russia and capitalistic America, create the Jewish state, empower the Israeli Defense Forces so they could survive. I mean, this is a big miracle, and yet most of the world and a lot of the church thinks that Israel today is not a miracle of God, does not exist in fulfillment of prophecy, but is simply the moral obligation of the United Nations after the Holocaust to save this poor ethnic group, and that they're missing it. This is a big deal, and God is going to show everybody this is a big deal real soon.
Yeah, amen. I agree. And I guess this is a good place, I guess, to take us into America. You know, in Ezekiel 38, is America even identified for the people? I know what you've said, but how is America identified in Ezekiel 38?
Well, Ezekiel 38, see, what I try to do when I talk about America, because America has crossed every dangerous biblical boundary from which nations and empires that crossed these same boundaries throughout history were judged and destroyed for. And so, you know, a lot of us are very concerned. Jonathan Cahn wrote the book The Harbinger. There's many other people out there. Joe Rosenberg wrote a book called Implosion. We're really concerned about the future for America. And we'll spend a few minutes talking about why that's the case, you know, historically speaking, presently, and also biblically. But the other thing, too, though, is prophetically speaking, too. You know, are we in America, and excuse me, is America in the Bible? And if we are, what do we look like, right? And so, of course, I believe we are, and I think we're in Ezekiel 38:13. You know, Ezekiel 38 lists nine populations that come against Israel. They list Israel as the victim of that. The Lord's, of course, listed there as the victor. He's going to win that war. But that's not the end of the story. There are also four other populations listed in Ezekiel 38:13. And they are not fighting with Russia, and they are not defending Israel. And I believe among them, you've got Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and their young lions. Sheba would be more than likely Yemen. Dedan, more than likely Saudi Arabia. The merchants of Tarshish, I go through the biblical, archaeological, and geopolitical and prophetic reasons why that is probably the U.K., and their young lions, or the offshoots, of course, would be those colonies that came out of the U.K., and in particular would be America. And so I give the reasons for that. The whole chapter is America and Ezekiel 38. And I think when you walk away from reading that chapter, you're going to agree with me that America is the most likely candidate to be in that position. And if that's the case, to be listed in that prophecy, if that's the case, that's problematic. Because that does not picture a vibrant, strong, superpower nation. That pictures a country that is simply protesting on the sidelines about Russia coming after Israel's plunder and booty. And it talks about the merchants of Tarshish and their young lions. So we're talking about a commercial theme. Someone wants to be doing business with Israel nationally and internationally with commerce, and Russia is trying to deprive that from happening. And here's these sideline protesters, it appears to be, simply going, what are you doing, you know? Please don't do that, you know. And so anyway, that's I think your listeners will find that chapter interesting. But there's more to be said about America. I devote three chapters in the book about America.
Yeah, amen. Let's go into in chapter 7. You point out some of the problems with America And maybe if you go through them, and then we'll talk about some of them, because, you know, let me just say this, folks, I'm really so ill over America with all of these, in some of these states where poor little girls are going to be subjected to boys using their bathroom and shower rooms, and this is just going so far, it just really makes me physically sick. So this is why I'm bringing it up. Back to you, Bill.
Okay, let's start, and we'll sequence this, and I know we've only got about 5-10 more minutes, so we'll try to do the best we can with this. But, you know, the dangerous biblical boundaries that we need to look at here as Americans, sexual perversion, idol worship, wickedness and moral decadence, and anti-Semitism. Sexual perversion was what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah at the time of Abraham, and Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, was judged and destroyed. Idol worship characterized the northern kingdom of Israel, which ultimately led to child sacrifice, and they were destroyed by the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC for that type of behavior. Wickedness and moral decadence really characterized the Assyrian Empire ultimately, and they were destroyed by the Babylonians and Medes in 612 BC. Then anti-Semitism has characterized many populations and countries throughout time, but one in particular is Egypt and Pharaoh's army at the time of the Red Sea, about 3500 BC. In all these instances, judgments and destructions occurred. Now, we look at America right now, and I'm going to list our rap sheet, if I can, in just a nutshell here, and I'm going to be specific about it because these are Supreme Court decisions that have happened over the last 50 to 60 years. And two of them have happened, two of the bigger ones, have happened in the last term of Barack Obama. So all the other ones took quite a bit of time to build up, dating back from the time of John F. Kennedy on through Richard Nixon and Lyndon Johnson, all through the other presidents, up to the Bushes, etc. 1962, Engle v. Vitale, Supreme Court decision to remove prayer out of the schools. 1963, Abington School District v. Shemp, remove Bible reading out of the schools. 1973, Roe v. Wade, legalized divorce and the killing of fetuses. And think about this. The Bible says, God said this to Noah. He said it to Adam, I want you to be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Well, at the rate of about a million abortions a year right now, America is not giving a million children the opportunity of being fruitful and multiplying upon the earth. 1980, Stone versus Graham, removal of Ten Commandments from public places. We're continuing to punch God in the gut and say we don't need you anymore. You can step back further. 2003, Lawrence versus Texas. We struck down sodomy laws in Texas, which carried over into 13 different states. 2013, we jump up to the clock to Barack Obama's time in his last term. United States versus Windsor struck down the key provision in the Defense of Marriage Act, which is a biblical model. One man should be married to one woman. That's what the Bible talks about. So, you know, the goal with Adam and Eve and Noah was one man will become married to one woman. They'll leave their mother and father and cleave together and become one flesh, and they'll be fruitful and multiply. Well, there's abortions, and now we can't define the biblical model of marriage. The Supreme Court said that we can't defend the constitutionality of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. And, of course, when you do that, now you leave yourself subject and open to what happened in June 26th of 2015, Obergefell versus Hodges, when the Supreme Court case ruled in favor of same-sex marriages. So, in other words, if you can no longer define biblical marriage, you open yourself now up to same-sex marriage, and that's what hit, and that's when you had a lot of people starting to say, okay, we've crossed the final biblical boundary now at this point. This is the day America died. And so that's very concerning. Is that the case? Are we at a point right now where God is going to now give us over to what he talks about in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, where we're given over to sexual perversions, the lust of the hearts in Romans 1:24, given over to homosexuality, vile passions in Romans 1:26, given over to moral decadence, a debased mind, Romans 1:28. This is how God deals with the nations in a format of judgment and destruction. So this is of concern. Now, when I get into chapter 7, and I want you to go ahead and ask some more questions, but I wanted to preface that because chapter 7 is where we talk about in the book, where are we at right now? Are we living in a 2 Chronicles 7:14 moment, a Nineveh moment could happen where if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their the land. 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's a mantra that was going out for several decades from many pulpits because the pastors were saying, I'm seeing the country go down the tubes. We need to get together as the people of God and pray for this. And maybe we, like Nineveh at the time of Jonah, when Jonah said to the Assyrian king of Nineveh that you're going to be judged and destroyed in 40 days, and the king of Nineveh, he issued a national proclamation, and he got down and repented, and the nation repented, and the Lord relented from destroying Nineveh. Of course, 100 years later, they met their doom. But and so this is the thing. Are we there right now? Or if we're not, then
right.
We have to look at Jeremiah 7:16 and Hosea 4:6. And so, I mean, I've said a lot there, Dan, but, I mean, this is concerning. We want to tell them what those other scriptures deal with, because that could be where we're at, the heart of the nation.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, people always bring up the Nineveh thing with me, and I go to them like that. And it's usually people, I guess, just haven't read the story that well, you know, because, you know, the whole nation repented. You know, even the animals fasted. And, you know, so that means they would kind of, we would have to repent of all these things. I do not see a nation in America, in a people that is in America, that can put the proverbial cat back in the bag, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And back it up. Do you think this nation could actually back up from those things?
Well, you know, this is the real question that the Americans need to ask themselves sincerely in their prayer closets, because, you know, God knows the end from the beginning, and God knows if we're going to have that national repentance coming. Now, when 9/11 happened, the churches were filled for a few weeks, right? And it looked like, you know, there were no Democrats and no Republicans. Everybody was an American patriot. We got hit. But, you know, my, how far have we fallen since then? And so, in my estimation, I'm concerned that we are not going to have that national repentance. And therefore, and it's indicative of the fruits of what's happening in this country. We've approved same-sex marriage. We can't approve biblical marriage in DOMA, this sort of thing. And therefore, here's what your listeners need to think about. When a nation gets to a certain point where they will not repent and they are headed for, they're destined for judgment, then this is what applies. In Jeremiah 7:16, Jeremiah was told, and here's the scripture, therefore do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or a prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? Now, just to set the context of what's being said there, at that time, Jeremiah was a prophet. He was warning the southern kingdom of Judah, who in 586 B.C. went into 7 years of captivity into Babylon. And the Lord knew that the southern kingdom of Judah, which was now getting into idol worship and following the same failed footsteps of the northern kingdom, got destroyed in 722 B.C. of Israel. He knew they were not going to have a Nineveh moment. He knew they were not going to repent. So he told Jeremiah, don't even pray for them anymore. Don't even make intercession for them. I will not listen to you. So basically, from that point forward, Jeremiah realized, I need to prepare them for what's going to come, the discipline, the 70 years of captivity. And we find that in Jeremiah 25. He starts warning them, hey, you're going to go into 70 years captivity. Get ready. I can't stop it. He's not listening to my prayers. Go. You guys are going to need to get ready. So that was their now prophecy. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, is the Lord not listening to our prayers on behalf of our country? That's the question we have to ask Americans right now, because many Americans are praying for this country and, you know, for their children and grandchildren, and we always, of course, should do that. But is the Lord hearing our prayers? Does the Lord know whether or not we're going to turn this around? Americans are looking for a super political hero. Maybe it's Donald Trump. They think he's the last Trump of the Bible. You know, I mean, I'm joking around. No, listen, we can't put our faith in a political superhero.
Right, I agree.
The country is so far deep into the mire. And so therefore, Dan, I'm going to say this because I know time's about out. If we are at Jeremiah 7:16 right now, then we are really going one step away into the inevitability, which is Hosea 4:6. Hosea spoke to the northern kingdom of Israel. He was a prophet. Again, I told you they were destroyed in 722 B.C. by the Assyrian Empire. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom, much like Isaiah and Amos was. And Hosea said to the northern kingdom, listen, I'm speaking to all of you, whether you have faith or don't have faith. This is in Hosea 4, early on in the chapter. Then he goes on at the end of chapter 4, and he says, those who lack understanding are going to be trampled. In other words, heed my warning. If you don't understand this, if you don't get this message, you are going to be trampled whether you have faith or don't have faith. You need to understand the warnings that us prophets have been giving you. You need to get it and get prepared for it. And then he issues this statement in verse 6 of Hosea 4. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. Here's the situation. the pulpits in America are not warning people on the level that they should about what's coming and the dangerous boundaries we've crossed. The knowledge is not being given to them, and in the cases that it is, it's often being rejected. And if we reject that knowledge, and if judgment is coming, the Lord will reject us, even if we're believers or not. Not that we wouldn't be saved and go and get raptured and that sort of thing. The thing is, if a judgment's coming to a country, it's going to affect everybody, believers and unbelievers, if we're not raptured before this happens, if it's coming to this country. It's like
right.
The sun shines on the good and the evil. The rain pours on the good and the evil. So we're trying to warn people with this book, look, these prophecies could be about to happen. Are you paying attention? Are you ready for them? Are you, have you got your faith right with Messiah? I get into two chapters on preparing for these events physically and emotionally, but also preparing for them spiritually, these now prophecies.
Amen. Okay, well,
Christ is returning soon.
Yeah, amen. I wholeheartedly agree, and there's my train, I guess. Why don't you give your website one more time?
ProphecyDepot.com, Prophecy Depot like Home Depot.com.
All right, well, thanks for being on with me, Bill, and I recommend everybody get your book. I'm going to advertise it for you, so you be blessed. Bye-bye, brother. Okay, folks, we got to get out of here. We ain't got any time at all. We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Pray about the peace of Jerusalem. Until there's peace, that means Yeshua will be here, because there is no peace until he gets here. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, especially pray about a Passover gift. Anyway, Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.